your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Tuesday edition of The Gathering. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're here on the Para-X Network with our whole fun Tuesday night planned, and so looking forward to it here in this Mercury retrograde energy.
Oh, I can't even believe it's Mercury retrograde again, Heidi. I just about died when you told me that tonight.
I know. I come in here getting ready for the show, and Stephanie looks like a ball of goo laying on the table. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. I'm like, yeah, me too. I go, maybe it's Mercury retrograde. What?
Oh, my God. That's what it is. I didn't even know. Normally, I kind of track those Mercury retrogrades so I can be kind of prepared. Not that you can ever be prepared, but, man, I didn't know that was coming this time.
Snuck up on you.
So I guess here's the thing. If it just makes me tired, I can deal with that. If I just don't want it to make me crazy like that last one was crazy. It was crazy. You know, and I know there was a lot of other planets in retrograde at the same time. So, and we had the super moon and all that kind of energy going on. So between all of it, I was in that case. So I guess if I'm a little tired this time, it's okay. I can handle it. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
That's all that happens. And I was saying too, when I first came in, I said, well, at least it's not over the holidays, like the December holidays.
Yeah.
Usually it is. I mean, it seems like it's mostly when we find them.
Right.
Mercury retrograde. So.
Right. And this year, so this, if it started this week, it should be over with, I'm guessing, the first week or week and a half.
It's December 6th.
December 6th. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So yeah. Then we have the whole month of December to do all of our Christmas stuff, and we won't have this cloud hanging over our head. Although, you know, I try to look at it as an opportunity to find lost things, like you say, you know, and you back up and try to find things that you've lost or things that are missing. And sometimes you do. Sometimes you do.
You know, it's funny because there's a bunch of things that were missing that I didn't really, I was looking, I mean, I kind of knew, I'm like, God, I don't remember because I just moved like a few months ago. And you know how things just kind of get lost in the shuffle, and I have a storage unit and I didn't know like where stuff was. I'm like, God, I don't know where I put this stuff. And then I get a call from where I used to live, because apparently I forgot some stuff there. And so here today, I go pick it up, and there's all the stuff that I was. So there's Mercury retrograde helping you. Yep, because I know I'm always like, hey, don't ding on Mercury retrograde too bad, because there's really good things that can happen in Mercury retrograde.
Yep.
And I always think, you know, you can find stuff that's lost. You can work on old projects, you know, solve old puzzles or riddles or something. And so here I get like 5 boxes of stuff.
5?
Oh, it was a lot.
Holy
I was
crap.
Shocked.
Oh my gosh.
It's just stuff that I didn't think was mine, and so I didn't take it.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah, and I thought I looked in everything anyway, but yeah, so it was cool. So I still have to go through everything, but I'm like, wow, there's that. Oh, there's that. And some of it was like, oh gosh, I'm so glad I
did. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I've been working on my basement because my basement was such a horrendous mess. Actually, it looks pretty good, doesn't it, Heidi? We were down there. So
yeah.
We're going to make our own little studio down there. But I was in the process of refinancing my house, and so they had to come for an appraisal. So I had no choice. I had to go down there and clean. But I did find a lot of really cool stuff. And I still have more to do, so I'm guessing I'll find even more cool stuff that I forgot about.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's a good thing. But it's maybe that's why I'm so motivated to do it. Maybe it's this Mercury retrograde saying, get rid of it.
Go through this donate. Stuff.
Do whatever, you know?
Yep. Get rid of stuff. Go through the old stuff. Look in the, kind of digging through the past and getting rid of the old.
Yep. Yeah.
Out with
exactly.
the old, so you have room for
exactly.
the new.
It's been kind of fun. So anyway, aside from all that, You know, we just want to say, so, you know, Jerry of the Calling is always advertising the gathering for us. And he was telling us last week after the show that he has many friends that are troops overseas and troops that are here in America that listen to his show that are also listening to our show now because he's told them about it and they're friends and they were messaging back and forth on Facebook or whatever when our show was on last week and we were talking about Sasquatch, which I guess is a big hit with them. So if you're listening, all of you, thank you for listening because that is really fun to think that we're touching troops far away from home.
Exactly.
And especially if you're listening this week on the Thanksgiving week.
Well, and we just had Veterans Day, so
that's right.
Thank you also.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service as well. So yes. we no words can describe our thanks, but we're glad to have you with us. And I don't know if you can, if you're serving, and I don't know if you have access to your, I don't know what you have access to. So if you can hop onto our Facebook page and say, hey, we actually found out that our settings were set so that people couldn't post on our Facebook page, which was crazy. My fault because I set it up like that. I didn't mean to set it up like that. It was probably maybe a default. So I changed it. So wherever you are on the planet, you know, if you want to do a shout out on our Facebook page, you don't have to message us anymore. No. You can just do a shout out right to our Facebook page. I just changed the settings tonight. Yeah. Go me. So sorry about that if you were trying to connect with us. But if you do want to connect with us and say hey or let us know where you're listening from, go to our Facebook page on I think it's set up as the Gathering Radio Show.
I think so.
Yeah. And say hi and let us know where you're listening from because we would love to hear from you. And thanks to everybody out there who, you know, have been listening and sticking around with us because we've been going for a while now. And
we have. It'll be 4 years, I think, in January, Heidi.
That's so
and
crazy.
Almost 2 years since we've been doing the weekly thing. We used to do it once a month, but we've been doing the weekly thing for about a year and a half now. So,
cool.
We've evolved quite a bit, and we've picked up a lot of listeners on the way, which is so fun.
It's
and
so much
people
fun.
People from all over, and, you know, they send us messages, too. And all of you give us really good ideas for shows, and you have, you know, you tell us on the chat things that you're thinking about and add to our stories. So it's really been fun. And like we said, when we started this show, you know, it was to gather. It was to gather everyone around our metaphysical table. And that's sure what we're doing now after this time. So I think this is awesome. So this is something that we definitely have to be thankful for.
Yep.
So thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. Because without you, we would be not doing this.
That's right.
Nobody
That's
be
right.
listening.
No.
And we do appreciate your stories. We love the messages, like Stephanie said, the messages that come through on Facebook Messenger. We get a lot of comments through there, a lot through the chat room. Mm-hmm. So if you can't join us on the chat room, if you can connect with us through Facebook or our website, please do. You're the reason that we're here. And you're the, you know, reason that we come up with some of these topics that we have, your contributions to our topics. And it challenges us sometimes to dig into what we know so that we can share it with you. Mm-hmm. Or if we don't know, do some research on our end. We have resources so we can do some research bring some more knowledge to you or just give you our viewpoint. Maybe you're the expert and you just want to know what we think about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we're just grateful for all of it. And thank you, everybody, for being here with us. And, it's been about 4 years. How cool.
Yeah, I know. So we'll be celebrating our 4th year anniversary at the end of January. Maybe we can do something fun. Maybe we can do an on-location show. We don't do that anymore, but we'll have to ask permission from...
We could ask permission if we're really good.
From, Rebecca and Eric and Cece and the whole nine yards and see what we can get a hold of. But I think that would be really fun. Maybe we can find a haunted location to have a show from. We see Karen's on the web, and you know what, she just moved up to northern Minnesota this last weekend, and she says she just got internet. I'm so glad. She's got a beautiful place up there. I helped her with a couple of her dogs. I brought a couple of her dogs up there, and jealous, can I just say. I mean, you know, that's what I've always wanted to do, just move up in the woods somewhere. So I'm sure she will enjoy it very much back there. And she's also one of our squatchers. And Heidi, she's got this fabulous upper story that will house all of us squatchers.
Got it.
When we go. So, perfect. Yeah, we have it. We got it covered now. Between her and Gina's, we got it covered up north. So, anyway, what are we talking about tonight, Heidi? So, it's Thanksgiving this week, and...
It is Thanksgiving, and every holiday, it's interesting because you think of Halloween being creepy, you know, and every other holiday is pretty tame or very, like, sweet and sugary, mm-hmm. and apparently Thanksgiving can be just as creepy mm-hmm. as Halloween, and so we decided to go there,
mm-hmm.
because why not?
Well, yeah, and we have found some pretty interesting stories out there to talk about tonight. And as usual, if all of you on the chat line know of any ghostly, weirdly creepy stories, do put it out there on the chat line and we will most definitely talk about them. But we found some pretty weird things ourselves. And as we know, Thanksgiving is, you know, of course, it's our Thanksgiving here in America this Thursday, but almost every country in the world, I think, has it like an end of the year harvest festival that is really pretty much Thanksgiving. And wow, there are some weird traditions out there. We were talking about a few before the show started, and I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So, Heidi, you start.
All right. So, well, some of what I found is just sad. Like, or interesting mysteries or gruesome, you know, so that's kind of where I started to go because that's what I think is interesting. Not gruesome, but you know what I mean. So I have, I pulled up and I remember reading about this, about the D.B. Cooper case. Did you ever hear about D.B. Cooper? So apparently he disappeared on Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh.
And it says, I'm reading a story here that I found on the internet. So, but I think this is relatively true. I've heard enough about this that it feels somewhat true. And TV shows and everything I've seen on, it says the only unsolved case of hijacking and air piracy in U.S. history happened the night before Thanksgiving in 1971. And the guy calling himself Dan Cooper, later called D.B. Cooper by the media for unknown reasons, boarded Northwest Flight 305 in Portland, bound for Seattle. Mid-flight, he revealed to the flight attendant he had a bomb in his carry-on bag.
Oh,
he showed
that story. Oh, yeah. Yes.
He showed it to her and promptly conducted the politest hijacking ever.
Yeah.
He got the plane to land in Seattle, demanded $200,000 in cash and two sets of parachutes. After these demands were met by the airline and the FBI, Cooper released the passengers and instructed the flight crew to take off and head for Mexico City. Shortly after this flight began, Cooper sent the flight attendant to the cockpit for safety, strapped on one of the parachute sets, opened the plane's rear stairs, and jumped out of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. no trace was ever found. Never. Some of the money he stole was recovered from a forest outside of Portland many years later.
Oh, it was. Oh, I didn't even know the money was found.
Yeah, apparently some of it.
Oh.
And then many years later, the money was found. And then... But the man and his true identity remain a mystery to this day. And he became a legend and a folk hero because of his boldness and polite demeanor. And the FBI gave up looking for him altogether, closing its case on Cooper in 2009 without having solved it.
Isn't that wild? And you know what? That was on an episode of Josh Gates' show.
Oh, was it?
I saw it. And it was really fun to watch because he was out there and there are some people that say... I think they said that they see every once in a while this plane, like a 1970s plane, fly overhead in that area. Like it's a ghostly kind of thing is what I'm thinking. But it was it was a very good episode. So if anybody wants to watch that, I think it was Destination Truth. It was a Josh Gates show. I'm not really sure.
And I think I remember seeing it, but I don't remember which one it was. But yeah, I remember seeing him talk about it. So I must have seen the episode. But
yeah, how fun is that?
And there's tons of TV shows on it.
Oh, I know. And they reenacted, of course, the whole thing.
Yeah.
When they were on the plane and he was so polite and said, you know, whatever. And yeah, it was very cool. I didn't know that was the night before Thanksgiving. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so cool. There's that. I found that one. I thought that was pretty cool. Cause that's like, I think almost everybody's heard the story.
Yes. Yes. I knew I had when you said the name and I'm like, okay, yeah, what is that? Cause I can't think of it right now. But then when you start talking about the flight, I knew exactly what you were talking about. And I didn't know they had found any of the money. So that's interesting. Yeah. Where did he go? Isn't that interesting? It's like he just slipped back somewhere and
he's just, and I mean, by now, I mean, he doesn't have to be.
1971, right? So that's 47 years ago.
47 years ago. So he doesn't have to be dead, but if he isn't, he's really old.
Yeah. Because how old was he then, did they say? Like 40-ish? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. He's probably in his 30s or 40s. Oh, okay. I would imagine. I mean, even if he's in his 20s, well, I guess he wouldn't be that old then. But
60s, but
if he's in his 30s or 40s, I mean, he'd be old. Or older.
Strange mysteries, right?
I think it's just an interesting story.
It is.
And kind of neat that it's a little bit of a Thanksgiving story.
Well, it happened the night before Thanksgiving.
It did.
Thanksgiving Eve.
Thanksgiving Eve counts.
Wow.
There it is.
That is awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, there's some interesting and sad, really, crimes, too, that were that happened on Thanksgiving. One of them I found in Lake Worth, Texas. A family was returning from a Thanksgiving outing in 1985 when their 15-year-old daughter found a briefcase on the front porch of their home. And when they opened it, the briefcase exploded, killing the daughter, the father, and her cousin. And then 10 years later, a man was convicted of the crime. And it was overturned. I guess he wasn't convicted. It was overturned. And some say that that family wasn't the intended target of the mystery bomber. The device was intended for one of the neighbors. But how did it end up in their front porch then? I don't understand that. But it looks like no one was ever charged, because the case was overturned. So, how sad, right? The whole family, a bomb on their doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If I found a briefcase, I wouldn't open it.
Mm-hmm.
My front step.
Oh, so Kat is, okay, so going back, Kat is saying it's Expedition Unknown Season 2, Episode 7, and it will be playing in December. So, those of you out there.
It'll be coming up.
It'll be coming up. Thanks for that, Kat. Yeah, and you know, so some of the crazy things that used to be done back in the day, you know, one of the things was out on the East Coast, and I don't know if it was just the East Coast, but what I read was during the 19th century, a brand new Thanksgiving tradition began called Ragamuffin Day. And it says children started dressing up, going door to door and asking for treats. Thanksgiving for a while was an awful lot like Halloween, except it was crueler. The Thanksgiving ragamuffin tradition started in Massachusetts when a group of poor children who were starving to death went to their neighbor's doors begging for scraps of food, asking something for Thanksgiving. Rich kids saw it as a plight of the less fortunate, and they thought it was hilarious. And as a cruel joke, they started imitating them. And every Thanksgiving, those wealthy kids would start putting on tattered clothes and going door to door, pretending to be the beggars, and in return, people would hand out pennies, apples, or pieces of candy. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
And then, but what's even worse than that, so ragamuffins, so in New York, they had these red pennies. These red pennies are a penny that had been heated up in the stove until it was too hot to touch. And when the ragamuffins kids in the neighborhood hit the streets and started going door to door, some New Yorkers would go to their windows and throw these scalding hot coins into the streets, and then they'd howl in laughter as they watched small children burn themselves.
God.
I remember the fun we had, one New Yorker told a reporter after the fad had died out.
Fun.
When the kids picked them up, we got our fingers burned. I remember how my fingers got blistered. Then, nostalgic for the last days of being tricked into injuring himself, he sighed and said, "They didn't have any real fun. They don't have any real fun like that anymore." Really? What is up with that? That's crazy.
That's disturbing.
It is disturbing. Oh my gosh. Lots of just crazy. And you know, Lincoln, I mean, one of the other things I've read is that turkey and gratitude had nothing to do with Lincoln's original version for Thanksgiving. In 1861, he tried making his own brand new festival to bring the country together, but he didn't want people to give thanks. He wanted it to be, in his own words, a day of public humiliation, prayer, and fasting. Oh, my. Oh, and he wanted people to start with acknowledging the supreme government of God and bowing in humble submissions to his chastisements. Really? I have heard that he was really something, that boy.
And who was that again?
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh.
And it says that his son begged for this first turkey's life. The tradition of having a president pardon a turkey on Thanksgiving started on the very first year of the holiday, and it all came out of the sympathy of a 10-year-old boy. The Lincolns had a live turkey sent to the White House for their dinner, and Lincoln's young son, Tad, got the chance to see the animal that would soon be killed, fried up, and placed on the dinner table. And when he realized what was going to happen, he became terrified, begged his father not to kill that turkey, telling him it had as good of a right to live as anyone else. The president was touched, agreed, and the White House brought in a new pet turkey. And you know what? Today, actually, I saw that Trump and Melania pardoned the ceremonial turkey, and this was a 40.
That's been ever since, right?
They do this. Yeah. And this was a big 40-pound turkey. And you know what's funny?
40 pounds.
40 pounds. And I laughed as I watched this because the president hardly put his hand anywhere near this turkey like he was scared to death. And Melania stood back like 6 feet. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes, it's a turkey. Come on. And wow. I have to say, talking turkeys, Casey picked me up at work today, my daughter, and we came back through Northeast Johnson Street, to be exact. And, you know, there's a flock of wild turkeys that frequent the area. And we were on Norwegian Hill, and we found them, and there was a flock of 17 turkeys in the trees and on the ground. And it was, I tried to get pictures because I wanted to get a perfect Thanksgiving Day picture, but they wouldn't spread out their tails, you know, like you're supposed to have, but we did scare them. So I really didn't get any super, super good pictures because they were just on the move, you know what I mean? But I just had to put that in there talking about turkeys.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think turkeys, at least the ones that hang around where I've lived, are thugs. And I've talked about this because they're thugs. They're mean. Yeah. They don't give way. You're like just trying to drive down the street and then 17 turkeys take over.
Yeah.
And they start pecking your car or whatever, and they force you to get out, and you know, they're just thugs. I don't like it. I don't like them.
Oh, you know, they are beautiful birds, though. I got to say, people think they're ugly, but when you really see them, I think they're just gorgeous. Oh, Karen, yeah, I agree with you, Karen. She's talking about special place in hell for these people. Where she lives, they have wolves. Yes, you do. Turkeys are bold. Yes, and we do have many. I know we have a few that kind of wander our neighborhood occasionally, too. So they are kind of all over.
Yeah, turkeys are bold. They are, Karen. Karen's in the chat room. Turkeys are bold. They are. They're thugs.
They're thugs. Heidi keeps saying that. They're thugs. Those turkeys are thugs. You know, was it Benjamin Franklin or who was one of the ones in the original founding fathers that wanted the turkey to be
the national bird?
National bird.
Yeah, it might have been Benjamin Franklin.
I think it was. Yeah. So, I mean,
thankfully we got the eagle. Someone overruled them.
There's just no comparison there. But, what do you have for another kind of true life real story, Heidi?
Let's see here. So, there's some murders.
Yeah. Oh.
Murders on Thanksgiving, which, you know, I suppose not everybody's sitting at home.
Right.
Eating turkey, eating the thug turkeys and stuffed and passing out from all the pumpkin pie and stuff. So apparently people still run amok. And yeah, there's stories of kidnappings, murders, shootings. Why do I go in this direction? I don't know. I'm looking stuff up and this is what was coming up.
Cool.
Well, it's not cool. But yeah, there's a Thanksgiving death of a Portland, Oregon public defender.
Oh, on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Murdered?
Yeah. And they said there are no signs of trauma or other marks in her body, which was discovered in the living room. But an autopsy determined that she had been strangled to death.
Oh.
Thanksgiving Day 2009.
That's not good.
And the circumstances of her murder are unknown because police initially acted on the assumption that her death had been natural. And crucial evidence will likely last from the crime scene in the early days of the investigation, because apparently it didn't look like she got strangled. And her case is open. So prominent public defender in Oregon. That wasn't that long ago. Less than 10 years ago.
Wow.
I know, right? Like, and there have been other, I mean, I've heard some really awful, you know, people break in on Thanksgiving and I suppose crime doesn't stop when it's a holiday.
Well,
it's
no,
not a holiday for everybody.
I think there's probably actually more crime on holidays than any other day of the year because people leave their homes, right? They're the people who leave their homes to go somewhere else. Their homes are
that's probably true.
Ready for the picking.
Well, right? And I wonder if people are, because some people, if they're in a desperate place and then they get really emotional around the holidays and maybe do things, so maybe they do things they wouldn't normally do, or they do it more so on the holidays because they're all worked up maybe from some emotions from the holiday that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they didn't have good holidays, or they're mad because they're not, you know, they're alone. And I don't know. I'm guessing on all this stuff, but, you know, you wonder if that plays a part in it. Someone's emotional state when the mm-hmm. holiday hits, and then that.
Well, yeah, because the holidays are really hard for a lot of people.
Holidays are hard.
You know, and even when you're happy and you have got everything going for you, I think the holidays are still hard because you're supposed to be happy. Here's the thing. We're supposed to be happy, and we're not always happy. No. I mean, you know, the thing is, who's happy about having to cook, bake, clean to have these holidays? I mean, come on. It's a lot of work, and you know, I don't know.
And well, then, I'll say, and I was having this discussion, actually Tim and I were having this discussion this week, that we're thankful to have those things to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, because not everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has the food to cook, the place to cook it in, the people to cook it for,
yes.
You know, so I'll cook and clean all day long and be glad that I have people to cook for.
Yes.
People to clean for, a place to clean, a place mm-hmm. to cook in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, it, you know, we look at just perspective, you know, where we're coming from. Because sometimes, yeah, holidays are hard. Depending on where you're coming from, they're hard for different reasons.
Yeah.
If it's hard because you're cooking and cleaning, okay. But it's also hard if you don't have a place to live or you don't have any food to eat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Bobo's making her appearance early tonight. It's not even the halfway point, and here's Bobo.
She's saying, yes, I don't have food to
squawking.
Eat.
She's a squawking. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she's...
And Kat said, being alone on the holidays doesn't give you the right to break into someone's home, take their things because you believe they're off having a good time. Agreed. I do agree. That doesn't give you the right. No one has the right to break into home. Anytime.
No.
Doesn't matter if they're away or they're having a good time or not.
But they're opportunists, right? And they also know, like, you know, in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, when they know everybody has all the presents waiting for Christmas, that's a really good time to break into, right? I mean, lots of people get robbed this time of year. It's just a sad fact. But goodness. You know what? We're almost at the half hour, so I say let's go to break now because we have lots of other stories to talk about and some that may take a little bit more time than the rest.
Yep. So let's do it. We'll take a break here on the Para X Network and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
I do have a lot of people in the chat room.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series, The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
It is the secret of the world that all
things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead. We know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Oh! Hey, Heidi! What are you listening to? Heidi! Heidi! Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey!
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
Welcome back, everybody, here on The Gathering on the Para-X Network. And we're talking about creepy and disturbing Thanksgiving history, stories, events. Because Thanksgiving can be just as creepy
as
Halloween.
Well, and so can Christmas. Remember we did the creepy things?
We did do creepy Christmas
last year, and the creepy cryptids that, you know, like Krampus and and those Iceland people that were icky, and then they turned out to be fun, remember? Because they wanted to be fun then.
I don't know. There's weird stuff everywhere and all times of year. So we're talking about it because we aren't afraid to go there.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, like I was saying before, it's, you know, it's Thanksgiving is celebrated all over the world in different cultures and different things. And you know, and creepy things, can I just say? Like, for example, the Aztecs celebrated this successful harvest, and they called it, I can't pronounce this, but it looks like it's Oak Panziti or something. It ran through most of the month of September. They cleaned the city like mad, and when the city was scrubbed clean and corn harvested, one young woman was chosen, decapitated, and carefully flayed so that a high priest could dance around in her skin. And then for the next 20 days, that high priest, wearing his rotting woman jacket to role play the part of the goddess on earth, spent his time ripping the hearts out of prisoners to make sure the Aztec nation didn't get ripped off on the corn harvest next year. Wow.
But I don't even know how that would work. Like, I don't want to know. I don't, that seems like a long time to be running around in that.
Yes. I mean, really? Oh, oofta. Can I just say it?
I hope not. I hope that's not true.
No. And, you know, I was also reading about, you know, like in Sweden and Norway, you know, in Sweden specifically, they had a sacrificial feast called Blot. It was less focused on the harvest and more on enlisting the support of the Norse gods. They sacrificed animals, eating the meat and sprinkling each other with steaming blood. They believed that they were endowing their people with magin, or the power of the gods. Of course, it didn't always work. And during the reign of King Dimaldi, Sweden suffered a disastrous famine. First, they sacrificed oxen. The famine continued. The second year, they tried humans, and the famine got worse. So they decided that the famine was the king's fault, and they killed him during the third year. And after sprinkling his blood over the statues of the gods, the famine ended. Wow.
Huh.
That's crazy, right?
Isn't that funny how you just want to run around and blame everything for some, like, a problem that, it's just like, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Oh, what the heck is wrong with
Isn't
us?
Isn't that crazy? And so I mean, these ancient, and then they talk about the harvest and the Egyptians. Well, I'm not even going to talk about that story because this is a family show and we can't talk about that on this show. But, you could look it
up. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah, we talked about it. It's kind of craziness going on. So really it's celebrated all over the world. And, America is not the only ones. Do you have any more murder mysteries or anything to talk about?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. We have a bird watcher discovered a body on Thanksgiving Day. And this was in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And this gal was spending the day at her boyfriend's home and doing some bird watching while she was over there. And while she was out in this, watery, marshy area, she thought she saw a heron in the creek. It turned out to be a pair of sneakers, and they were still attached to the decomposing body of the guy that was wearing the shoes. And he was wedged in the creek and the rocks and everything. And it was a guy who appeared to be in his late teens, early 20s, and nobody knows to this day who he is or the cause of death.
Oh.
They never figured it out. They don't even know who he is.
Oh.
How sad. But she found him on Thanksgiving. Can you imagine? You're going to walk off Thanksgiving dinner.
And there you find a dead body.
Ugh.
When I was a kid, when I was in, grade school, I don't even know what grade it was, but we had a field trip over at Battle Creek Park in St. Paul. And there was a bunch of us, it was like several classrooms full of kids. And we found a dead woman over there.
You did?
Yes. What? Yes. And I will never forget it. And of course, it almost was like that show Stand By Me, right? Because all the kids, we all had to go look, And then, of course, the police were called and, because the teachers, and, the chaperones. But yeah, there she laid and, she
like
had
just
like,
out
leaves.
In the open.
In the park, I think, she was kind of by the stream. I kind of maybe think she drowned. I wish I could remember exactly how it all happened. But there she was, and some kids were, like taking the leaves off of her. That's what I remember the most is some of the more boisterous kids of the class were peeling the leaves off of her and stuff. And yeah, I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, when you find a dead body, it's like something you'll never forget.
Well, yeah, for sure. And do you remember, could you see her or just like...
I don't know.
Could you see her face?
She was like laying with her outstretched hand and she was like, it was by the creek. I think it was pretty close to the water, but I kind of think she died of, exposure.
Oh.
And maybe she was a homeless person, probably, I guess. I don't know, because we didn't hear about that back in those days, right? People kept it quiet and there weren't as many as there are nowadays, but there were definitely homeless people there.
That's sad.
No, I should try to look that up someday. I wonder if it's on the web somewhere. I don't even know what year it was, but I just remember we were in, actually, I don't know if it was grade school or junior high, but it was somewhere around there. And it was like, just, I'll never forget it. And every time I hear about Battle Creek Regional Park,
I think about
that dead woman.
Yeah.
And I still have never been there. Every once in a while, because Casey and I are all searching for that crazy St. Paul Winter Carnival medallion,
Sure.
And sometimes they think it's there and I'm like, I'm not going there. To this day, right?
Well,
all these years later.
That's understandable considering your experience there.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Icky.
So I have an unsolved murder from 1919. And let's see here. It's John Woodruff, a game protector for the county. This is in Schenectady County, New York. I hope I said that correct. Mm-hmm. He was a game protector. And he left his home on Thanksgiving Day, 1919, to patrol the area and never returned. And his body was found almost 2 years later in April 1921, buried in a shallow grave near a creek bed. Ooh. He had half of his skull detached, indicating he had been killed by a blow from a large object, possibly an axe. He had received and destroyed a threatening letter a few months before his disappearance, and a witness reported seeing him arguing with another man on the day in question. They walked off together in the woods, and it was the last time anyone saw him.
Mm.
I'm saying someone might have seen the killer. Just saying. And so it's over, almost 100 years. I was going to say over 100 years. No, it's not 100 years quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still unsolved. They still
That's
don't
crazy.
Get it. 100 years. Yeah.
That's nuts.
100-year-old whodunit.
So Ghost Dance sent us a note saying, we're talking about the D.B. Cooper case again. He's saying filmmaker Tom Colbert, who has been investigating the case for 40 years, claims that D.B. Cooper is actually former Army paratrooper Robert W. Rackstraw, who is now 74. So where is this Robert Rackstraw, I wonder? And if it's that easy, why hasn't someone talked to him and figured it out? You know, but that's interesting.
Right. Well, and maybe they have. Maybe they can't prove anything.
Right.
Because I know when I've – the different shows that I've watched about him, they have – they've had different people in their sights
mm-hmm.
of who this person could be and mm-hmm. everything. So, yeah. Army paratrooper. Well, it would make sense if he knows how to jump out of planes and maneuver that whole deal.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I don't think I would be able to figure that out. No, if I wanted to hijack a plane, I'd be stuck in it. I don't know that I would want to leave it. I personally, my personal thought on doing a parachute, whatever you call that, right? Jumping out of airplanes,
yep.
Why would you jump out of a perfectly good plane?
I would like to go skydiving, honestly.
Well, have
just
fun.
Just like the daredevil. I just think, can you imagine the feeling?
You
can
also want to jump out of a perfectly good boat into a lake that has mermaids that'll pull you down. You have said that. You've made it quite clear. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Jump out of a perfectly good boat into the water. Jump out of a perfectly good plane into the sky. No. I wouldn't do it. Not me. You go for it. You can tell me how it is.
Well, Stance is saying that this guy has refused to talk to anyone about, so we just don't know if it's him or not. Of course, it's a theory. Whether it's true or not, who knows?
Right.
But, you know, interesting.
It is.
One of the other things I found a lot of out on the internet when searching for Thanksgiving hunts, and, you know, and we all know this, but I'm just going to read just a couple of paragraphs of this story, and then we can talk about it. But here it starts out. I'm just going to read this, and this is actually from an article last year. Three things you should know about Thanksgiving, and it's by Stacy Pigott, University Communications. And it says, year after year, elementary school children create paper turkeys and dress up like pilgrims and Indians to recreate the original Thanksgiving feast. It is portrayed as a great celebration between the survivors of the Mayflower, who established Plymouth Colony, and the friendly Native Americans from the Wampanoag tribe. And I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but, you know, please forgive me. The quaint retelling of that Thanksgiving feast was perpetuated by Abraham Lincoln, whose proclamation on October 3rd, 1863, made the last Thursday of November a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, blah, 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 and the peaceful end to the Civil War. But now it's the fourth. It's the fourth Thursday. Okay, I'm looking at the, because it's the fourth. They must have changed that, but it doesn't matter. And Ronald Trosper, professor of American Indian Studies at the University of Arizona, gave a presentation titled The Real Meaning of Thanksgiving as Part of Native American History Month. And, you know, they talk about the whole thing. A settler colonial invasion is a structure, not an event. Settler colonialism presents an ongoing elimination of indigenous populations and the assertion of state sovereignty over juridical control over their lands. And then it says, it goes on to say, is Thanksgiving an innocent celebration? Well, no. Let's just say some of the things that everybody thinks about this. And we also need to say that Native Americans, and I don't know if they're still doing this to this day, but they talk about the National Day of Mourning, because for Native Americans, it is a day of mourning, right? Because white people from across the seas came to America. They decided they wanted it. They took their lands. They learned from them. The natives were gracious enough to teach them how to farm, you know, gather food for them, and then we took their land and kind of did all these terrible things to them. So the first thing is the settlers respected the indigenous people's unique culture and religion. False. When Indians harvested, The thanks went to the land and the beings that provided themselves as food. That's a very fundamental indigenous belief, and we thank those beings that support our livelihood. Then at dinner, there was no prayer. They just ate. They had already thanked the land and this and that. Native Americans did not pray to the Christian God, although settlers would try to change that, of course, because that's what they did. Okay, number two, Thanksgiving was the beginning of a long friendship between the pilgrims and the Indians. False. A lot of people have put forth images of what Thanksgiving is really about, seeming to say that the natives were welcoming the settlers and providing them food. Well, they were generous and they did provide some food, but it was not reciprocated. Eventually, in New England, where Thanksgiving was said to be, settlers pushed the Indians aside, and that's where people lose the history. Tensions rose between the settlers and the indigenous peoples and reached a breaking point, resulting in a war. And spanning the years, the conflict raged throughout New England, destroying 12 towns and almost completely destroying the Wampanoag tribe and their allies, the Narragansett tribe from Rhode Island. The settlers arrive, take control of the land, and push the indigenous peoples off. Often, they just eliminate. It's not a question of sharing. It's very often the indigenous people said, we're happy to share the land with you if you accept our sovereignty over it and if you take care of it the way we want you to take care of it. But of course, that wasn't a part of the picture. The settlers learned agricultural practices from the Indians. True. And that is what it is. So I just wanted to put that out there because I think when we're celebrating Thanksgiving, we need to thank the indigenous peoples that were here before Europeans ever came and remember about how terribly they were treated. And I just think I also saw a lot of stories on the internet about how places where there might be Indian burial grounds and then, you know, other people have built over them that during Thanksgiving, you know, I guess the activity kind of is greater because we are not remembering what happened, what mm-hmm. the real story is. Yeah. So I think when we're sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner, we really ought to think about the fact that if it weren't for these indigenous peoples, those pilgrims would have died probably because they didn't know how to survive on the land. And then what did they do? They took everything from them. And it's continued. And it's still continuing today, which is really sad. So that's just my little pipe out there, shout out there. All right. I know Ghost Dance could speak on this for a while. I know that. And is Ghost Dance, can you tell us, is it still, so do they still do a day of mourning on Thanksgiving? I know that you go to specifically, I know they hold a powwow over at the Native American Center here in Minneapolis every year during the Thanksgiving Day weekend. And is that kind of what you do? You know, you can tell us anytime. And yeah, we know the first Thanksgiving was celebrated after the slaughter of First Nations people. It's true. So on to the next, Heidi. But thank you. So I just want to say thanks because it needs to be said.
Yeah. You know, and well, and there, again, I'm sure we could hear all sorts of contributions to this topic mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But it does, you know, it really, there's more to the history than the history that we wanted to create. You know, we've created a history for ourselves in a lot of ways that is not accurate, mm-hmm. extremely wrong in a lot of ways. And, you know, shines a flattering light because that's what we want to see.
Of course.
And that's what we want to remember. And there's always more to remember. And so it is, you know, a time that we, you know, if we are going to celebrate Thanksgiving, we celebrate or we think about all of it, not just the good, it's the bad mm-hmm. and the ugly. It's mm-hmm. it's our history. It's how we got here. And, you know, and looking at this in a different perspective, what are we going to do different going forward?
Well, exactly. Because it's still taking place today. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you know, even in northern Minnesota on this day, they're still fighting about these pipelines, and we know these pipelines are bad. And yes, I'm getting political, and I don't really even care. But these pipelines, they spew oil, and the waters, they spew it everywhere, and almost always they want to go through reservations. And you know what? These reservations are land set aside for the native peoples. They don't want them on there. They shouldn't have to have them on there at all. These pipelines shouldn't be anywhere. And there's a big fight going on in northern Minnesota right now about, I can't remember what the number of it is, but I talked to a number of Native Americans at, you know, for example, Paracon, who told me, who, you know, they're trying to stop this pipeline. And if you go up there, there's actually signs. If, you know, there people are either for the pipeline or like environmentalists and people who are worried about, you know, all of these environmental, hazards that can happen. You know, you're on one side or the other. But bottom line is they almost always have to go through these reserves and these reservations. And it's not right. We're still taking from them. Haven't we learned something from history? I mean, we know it's wrong. They're standing up against it. There was the whole encampment up in North Dakota last winter, and still somebody pushed it through, and that pipeline is going through and contaminating the water. If we don't have water, we don't have life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a horrific thing.
Yep.
It is line three, Karen. Thank you. Anyway, all right, I'm going to step off my soapbox.
it's all good.
Yeah.
So we'll transition here to something a little bit more paranormal in nature. So I found a story, and I've heard some variations of this over the years about the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there?
Oh, no, but I've been near it. I've been by it. I've seen it from, I think I've been, I've been in San Diego. I've never been to there, but I have been by it.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
I've walked through it. I haven't stayed there. I don't think I can afford to stay there, but it was beautiful walking through it, and the grounds are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so there's a story that, okay, the hotel was built in 1888, and it's over in the San Diego Bay. And 4 years later, a young lady named Kate Morgan checked in and never left.
Oh, and it was on Thanksgiving?
Dun, dun, dun. The 24-year-old Kate Morgan arrived on Thanksgiving Day, stayed for 5 days, and then killed herself.
Oh, my.
Right? And they said at the time no one knew who she was. They called her the beautiful stranger. Oh. And eventually they figured out who she was and uncovered a tragic love story. She was married but was set to meet a lover, and the lover never showed. And after 5 days of waiting, she took her own life. People had seen her on a train earlier. They said they saw her arguing with a man, and they saw the man storm off. The whole story may never be known, but the tragic ending lives on in the hotel walls. Guests who have seen her say they experienced a gentle spirit on the third floor guest room where she was staying. And visitors have seen flickering lights, a television that turns itself off and on, breezes coming out of nowhere, inexplicable scents and sounds, items moving of their own accord, doors that randomly open and close, abrupt changes in room temperature, and unexplained footsteps and voices. And paranormal investigators have been called in and have documented supernatural activity. There have also been sightings, Kate sightings, in hotel hallways and along the seashore. And they said the resort gift shop is also active. Items fly off the shelves, and nothing ever breaks, though. So things fly around, but nothing gets damaged.
They grab them before it falls to the floor. Or maybe. She does. I have heard that. And I think there's more than just her in those walls.
There is.
But that's interesting that she did, you know, Thanksgiving was the day she checked in.
Yeah. And you know, she's on a little excursion, a little rendezvous, I guess. And he didn't show. And she was distraught and beside herself. And I guess.
Imagine such a thing.
Yeah. So that was interesting. But being there, and I was only there for a few hours, and there is definitely more than one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It is a full house there.
Yeah.
And you can imagine with all of the glamour and the Hollywood scene, you know.
Oh, yeah. Marilyn was there many times. Yep.
So it's just, it's really got a rich history, and it does have a lot of energy there, even just from the people that have been through it. Not necessarily from just death or anything, but it's really, it's got some very thick energy. In a good way. It didn't feel bad. I didn't think of anything bad there. And I mean, I didn't stay there either, but just from walking through it, it was really full. And you could see Yeah. Like, you don't have to be, I don't know. I would imagine that you don't have to be intuitive to see some of the activity. Mm-hmm. I was seeing it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Spirits mm-hmm. were everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that even if you're not intuitive, you would see some of it with how active it was. You just have to.
It'd be a good place to do an investigation.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Even just to stay in a, you know, I mean, I don't know if they'd let just anyone.
Probably not.
Because, you know, it might get invasive and they wouldn't want that. But you could rent a room and bust out the right. equipment in the room.
Right. Get a few people together and everybody rent a yep. room and just kind of have like a mini whatever in our rooms. Yeah, that would be yeah. very cool. It's kind of like the chase up in Walker, Minnesota. It's pretty haunted too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So
lots of creepiness around Thanksgiving, lots of creepy stories and things that, you know, people do all around the world. And, you know, from the sacrificing of animals and sprinkling warm blood. And I don't know if any of you ever watched the Vikings on the History Channel, but they do that often. And it's interesting to know that it's really a holy crap, it's really a thing. You know, that they really did. And I didn't doubt it at all, you know, but to read it, it just puts a whole nother spin on things, you know. And they, like the Vikings on the show, they did splay people out, right? And when they killed them in horrific ways, they just splayed them out. It was gross. Anyway, and they show that on the show, but I love that show. It's just horrific, but it's cool. Anyway, well, can you believe it? We're almost at the end of another gathering.
We are. I know. Time flies when you're talking about creepy things.
You know.
And disturbing history and all sorts of stuff that we found. Yeah. And I'm not going to say everything's true, but some of it is.
No. Yeah, some of it
is. We can't validate everything, but some of it, you
and
know.
Some of the big mysteries, like, you know, the D.V. Cooper thing and, you know, this ghost down there at the Coronado. And this is very fun stuff that we've dug up tonight. You know, it's always fun to explore and see what these holidays are all about, really, on the creepy side of things, not just the fluffy, oh, this is fun. This is nice. Let's actually dig into the truth.
Creepy and disturbing is all year round. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so everyone, you know what? We wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving, and we hope that everyone has lots to be thankful for. I know that Heidi and I certainly do.
Yes.
And, you know, we thank all of you for always being there for us, everyone in the chat room, everyone that texts us and messages us on Facebook and our website. Because without you, we wouldn't have a show. Because we all gather around this table and swap stories every week.
Yep. So definitely thankful for that. And thankful to ParaX for being here and hosting all the radio shows that are on their network. You know, we're grateful to you and all the people that work behind the scenes in this, and for our producer Sarge, and we're grateful for the whole deal.
Yes.
It's very, very cool.
It's a unique community and a unique radio station. And yeah. Wow, we sure do have a lot of fun here.
Yep. So next week, we should do a little shout out for next week.
Yes.
We have a guest joining us next week that we met at Paracon this year, mm-hmm. Nick Redfern.
Mm-hmm.
Nick is a cryptozoologist, and he is into the supernatural side of cryptozoology and more of the interdimensional aspect of it. So,
and he's very fun to talk to. We did interview him there, and we did have some of that on our Paracon show. And he loves to talk, and he's got this amazing British accent. I believe he's from England. Yeah, he told us somewhere in Britain, but he lives in Texas, I believe now. So he's really interested in chupacabra and all of those things, but he's going to tell us all about cryptids, which we love. We love, love, love cryptid stories.
Yep.
So, and we're going to tell him a few of our Minnesota cryptid stories too, and see if you've ever heard of any of those.
Get his opinion.
Exactly.
So, that's next week. So tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually got a full calendar for December. So
we do.
We actually were planful.
I know. Can you imagine that?
What? Who would have thought?
I know. Wow. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Have a fabulous holiday, and do join us next Tuesday night for Nick Redfern.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Sarge.